Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be back. I just want to thank you while I was gone. I actually gave Brian Jones a call. He was the guy who spoke the past 2 weeks, and I was like, well, tell me how it was, and he had nothing but wonderful things to say about you, which I'm not surprised. Thank you for welcoming him. Thank you for being attentive. Thank you for praying while we were away. Craig and I had a great time together, and so what we want to do for the next little bit is I want to show you some images to help you understand what it is we're actually doing, and when we go to Honduras, when we go to places like Nicaragua, and there was things that came to light on this trip that I just hadn't seen before. So I thought these are wonderful things to be able to share with you today. So I talked with Josh. Josh is going to go through the slides at my pace, so if you can go ahead and advance the next two slides. This is really an important graphic for a lot of reasons. This one is of the nation of Honduras. And you see all those little pins in that map. That's the locations of all the churches represented by the pastors that we got to teach in Honduras. So when you ask the question, what kind of impact are we having? And we look at a map like that, that gives us a visual to say, wow, pastors are coming and being transformed from all across Honduras. They're getting practical teaching in things that we take for granted. I had the opportunity to teach on 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Craig did chapters 1 and 4. And then my other session in Honduras was a session that's near and dear to my heart, was how to walk people through grief, both inside and outside the church. We talked about grief and tragedy. And so I did that in two parts. We talked about how we help people grieve, did a couple case studies. And whether you know it or not, there's some very difficult case studies that happened here at Bridge Bible Church in my first couple years here. We had Al and Debbie Menke. They were people that were part of planning Bridge Bible Church. And I don't know if you remember, Al was very sick towards the end of his life. He went on dialysis almost weekly. And there was a point where in 2016 where he was just tired and he was just hurting. And he went to Deb and he said, I want you to make the decision for me to go on hospice, but I want it to be your decision. I don't want to receive any more dialysis. So she calls me up. She's crying. And I did what any pastor would do. I called a smarter pastor than me. And I said, what do I tell this couple? And the pastor was so gracious, and he said, look, tell them to take the long view. Help them make the decision with eternity in mind. And he's lived a good life. It's obvious things are not going to improve for him. And so this was one of the case studies I brought to the 150 pastors in Honduras. And he said, tell him that he needs to make the decision, but tell her to support whatever decision he makes. And that's what they did. And I was able to share with this group of pastors that when he laid back in his bed, that was the first time in months I'd seen him smile, because he was just at peace. He knew where he was going. He knew that he was going to be with the Lord. He knew when he shut his eyes to this world, he was opening his eyes to his Savior, Jesus Christ. And that he would see his wife and many of the others that he loved again. And so doing this with 150 pastors, breaking them into small groups, giving them about 10 minutes to discuss, you hear all kinds of answers. And one of the opportunities I had to say to one of the guys, put his hand up, said, yeah, I would tell her, just go ahead and make the decision. And so I was able to present to him, hey, well, here's the counterpoint of that. What if in 6 months she comes to you and says, I just feel so guilty and I miss him? I said, so that's what you got to weigh through as we're talking through these kinds of things. And I had to cut the session short because we were coming up against lunch and we got a late start. And there was just a number of guys that wanted to talk to me afterwards. They said, we don't get teaching and instruction like this. And this is stuff that we take for granted in our culture. The next slide is actually an image of Nicaragua. Beautiful country. Don't believe what they say about it on TV. We were absolutely safe there. In fact, we crossed the border. We left at like 4 o'clock in the morning because we didn't want to stand in line. And as we were coming across the border, I expected to see soldiers and AK-47s strapped to guys' arms. And really, it was just a lot of people in street clothes checking our information. There was one police, tractor trailer that had stairs going up into it. They took some information of ours up in there. We didn't have to go into it, praise the Lord. But we got through the border within like 45 minutes. It was really quite simple. And we just told them, hey, we're pastors. We're going to be leading a pastor's conference. And we were quite safe there. The place where we stayed in Nicaragua, it was BMDMI's Bible Institute in Nicaragua. It's not very well used right now. There's a couple guys that are trying to get some training going on a regular basis. And there were about 50 churches represented there. And you could see to the north and to the southwest, that's where their major impact is right now. You can go ahead, Josh. This next slide, there's Craig Peters in the image on the left. Craig is standing on the right. And then to the left of Craig is a gentleman named Omar. This dude loves the Lord. And this dude loves pastors. And he was our interpreter, and that's a heavy load to have to interpret session after session after session and conversation after conversation. And then he was our guide. He's the one that drove us across the border because he is from Nicaragua. He's a pastor. He works for BMDMI, and he just has a heart to invest in the pastors. And one of the things that we got to do is we went to Omar's house to pick up some handouts that we had made for the pastors and just saw where he lives, and my heart just breaks for him. He like many of us, he takes care of his mom, but he also has a son who's bedridden, and they had a small house where mom lived in the front, and the kitchen is there, and then there's like an open corridor, so when it rained, they got wet, and then they had a room in the back that was like a one-room house. And the bathroom off of that, and just got to meet his wife and his daughter, and daughter just absolutely adores Omar, and he gave her a little gift when we got there, and you could just see her face light up, and the way she hugged her dad, it was very touching, and he's a guy that when you look at his situation, and you look at the living accommodations at the Bible conference, or the Bible college, rather, you know, I know how Americans think, they would have been angling to move their family to the Bible college, not Omar. Omar's just content to drive an hour and a half to work each day. He's content to do what he can to minister to the pastors and wants to see training happen in among his people. And just a really good guy, a really funny guy, and he was a very great guide. The image to the right is actually, that's part of the Honduran pastors conference we had at the BMDMI campus over there. And you can see to the right, we led these pastors in communion because one of the questions we asked them was, when was the last time you got to take communion rather than administer it? We forget those kinds of things are part of a pastor's life, and we're able to minister to them in that way. You could go ahead to the next one, Josh. I believe this is still the day of communion. Craig and I took turns talking about the elements and leading the pastors in that and encouraging them. You can go ahead to the next one, Josh. And I believe the one to the left, the image to the left, that's me teaching, you know, this large group of pastors, and the image to the right is Craig and Omar sharing with them. This next image, this is the outside view of the chapel that we were teaching in at the BMDMI Bible Institute. And you can see it's a really nice building, not great acoustics, but it was a wonderful place to minister. And then our last night, we had dinner there. One thing I wanted to mention to all of you is, I know some of you got the financial update over the past week or so, and then I know Sean did a great job of just explaining how the deal went through on the land and just where we're at as a church. The only thing this trip cost Bridge is our current mission support to BMDMI and Equip Ministries. They actually took care of my flight. They took care of all the meals down there. God has really blessed Craig's ministry. He buys all the food for the pastors at the pastors' conference and was even able to give a little something extra to the interpreters, to the cooks, to the people at the school. And he just was a tremendous blessing to everyone involved. Okay, Josh, you go to the next slide. This is actually the outside of the Nicaraguan compound we were in. My wife's like, are you locking your door? I said, no. I said, we're on a compound that's gated. We have armed guards. And she goes, I would still lock the door. I said, you were raised by Bruce Rosa. You would booby trap every door and every window. I feel quite safe here. And the door kind of stuck if you opened it. So if anyone came in, it would have woken us up. Josh, you can go to the next one. These are the pastors in Nicaragua. As you can see, they filled that room. We had 50 pastors and church leaders there. And then one of the things Equip Ministry does so well, Josh, you go to the next slide, is they distribute resources in Spanish to these Spanish-speaking pastors. The image on the left, those are the resources we gave out in Honduras. The image on the right, since this is our first time there, we gave out a few more resources, and then we were able to leave a little extra behind. Two great stories that came out of this week. The first one was, back in 2022, Craig taught these pastors about letting go and letting the baton of leadership be passed to the next generation. There's a pastor that was present there. He was older, his health was failing, and so in 2023, he actually reached out to the Bible Institute in Honduras asking for a particular young man. His name was Donnie. And they called Donnie, they interviewed Donnie, they talked to him about, you know, coming to the church. He preached for them. He led a weekend evangelistic crusade, did a wonderful job, and then the church called him to be their pastor. And then, a few weeks later, the pastor actually had a ceremony where he handed over the literal keys of the church to Donnie. And there was this photo I got to see. I was too shy to ask for a copy of it, of this older pastor graciously handing over the keys, symbolizing the transfer of leadership. The pastor died 6 weeks later. And so I was talking to Donnie through an interpreter. I said, Donnie, tell me about this experience. What was it like? And he said, that pastor set me up for success. That pastor set me up by visibly transferring leadership to me. He said, the church has loved me so well. Donnie rides a motorcycle. He got into an accident, broke both arms. He said, the church has been so kind that when I was in a hospital, they came and some of the ladies in the church were feeding me my meals because I couldn't feed myself. And that's how well this church has loved Donnie. And he's doing a great job there. And you could just see the enthusiasm on his face. And then so after we gave out the resources on the left on that last image before, Josh, you can go back a slide. Another pastor named Elvin came up to us. Wonderful guy. This guy speaks pretty fluent English, and so we were able to communicate quite easily with him. And he started talking about these resources. There was resources with sermon outlines, resources with commentaries, resources with Bible studies. And he's talking about how the church is using the resources. And here's what he said to Craig and myself. He said, all the people that are a part of the studies that we're doing with these resources are growing spiritually because they're in the Word of God. And the resources make everything so simple. Think about how often we do a ladies' study. It's like we just go on Amazon and we got books. We got books for years and books for miles. Or right now we're doing, at our men's studies, we're just going through the book of Colossians and we got questions that we ask ourselves every week as we're studying. We take for granted all the things that we have access to that these pastors don't have. And so it was just a joy and a pleasure to be able to pass those things out that Craig brought with us and to see the impact in real time that those things are happening. You can go to the next slide. This is a couple guys. Pastor Santos is there on the left at the round table. He's a guy that we identified. This is a future leader of the church in Honduras. That's his leadership team at his church around him. We were listening to them as we broke into groups, as we asked them questions, listening to his feedback. And he's a pastor with a lot of love for his people. He loves his leaders. He helped them get there. They were there early. I assume it was because they wanted to choose the best spot to sleep. But he was engaged every session and involved with conversation with us and just picking our brains before and after. And we just noticed this is a guy that is going to make a difference in the year to come. Next slide, I wanted to show you, this young guy was hanging out with us. He's only 14 years old. We're like, you're at a pastor's conference, and you're blending in with grown-ups. And he was really mature, and one of the things we said is, dude, you're probably going to be a pastor in the church in Nicaragua. That's amazing. And just his insight and his engagement level and the way he joked around with those that were with him, he just blended right in with the adults. He did whatever we were doing. And it was such an awesome opportunity to meet him. And I think about the young people in our church and think, guys, you know, you're not too young to make an impact. And his name was Elvin, just really sweet-spirited young man. This last slide, this is a picture of the pastors in Nicaragua. They were small enough that we could get them together for a group photo. One of the stories that will stick with me forever is we met a guy there. I think his name was Donald. He was joking with us saying his name was Donald Trump, which we got a kick out of, which you'd never catch Donald Trump at something like this. There's just no way. And he spoke pretty fluent English, but he was working with us. He wanted to learn how to speak more fluent English, and he was in turn helping us with our very poor Spanish. And we would just tell them, you know, they say, do you speak Spanish? We said, poquito, just a little bit, you know. And he had to leave a day early because he has a real job. He had to go back to work the next day. And so at night, we could just see it in his face. He was teared up. he was hesitant. He didn't want to leave. He just wanted to stay for the conference. And it's one of those things that I'll never take for granted again, because here he was valuing the training that was being offered and wanting to be a part of it so much so that it tore him up to even think about leaving. This next photo, I believe, is that's Craig with the pastors in Nicaragua. Omar's next to him, and he was always bringing guys up and using them as illustrations and keeping them engaged. Craig was so funny. Craig is cross-culturally funny. And I don't know if you can appreciate that till you're with him and you're training with him, and then you see him make the interpreter laugh so hard that he loses all composure and had to take a time out for a few minutes because he was just telling stories and was able to make the guys laugh and feel at ease. So with that, there was a young couple that she's from Altoona, Pennsylvania. She met her husband on a mission trip. He is both a professor at the Institute in Honduras and a pastor. And I was talking with them and just wanted to do an interview with them. Well, they got so nervous about this interview that they went ahead and filmed it without me. And then I said, can I show this to our church back home? Told, if you're ever in the States, we will put you up in a hotel and we want you to come share at our church. So hopefully they take us up on that. It was a pleasure to get to know David a couple years ago. He was gone last year. He had just gotten married. Then he came back as a professor to the Bible Institute. And one of the things that we don't always get to see is what impact is what you giving having on other places. And one of the challenges for me this past year was with everything that's gone on at our church. Sale of the property fell through. We know what happened last fall. There was a lot of stress. There was a lot of strife among leadership. I was really struggling with, should I even go this year? And I don't know how many of you know this. I was wrestling with the fact, am I even going to be at Bridge past Christmas? And, you know, am I going to be having secular work? Am I going to, what's the outlook going to be for me as a pastor? And thankfully, we're through all that, and those questions have been answered. But I went to lunch with Craig last November, and I said, what happens if I'm not here? He said, well, I'll still pay for you to go. I want you to come. And so we talked through that, and then as we got closer and just feeling the weight of everything happening here, I called Craig. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is kind of where I'm at. He's like, I need you to come. And I thanked him when we were in Honduras. I said, thank you for just applying the right amount of pressure for me to go, because I was really, really wondering, how does this fit right now? How does this fit where we're at? How does this fit what's going on in the church? How does this fit that we could really use an associate pastor to lead some of the areas of ministry that are often overlooked by our church? And I was just really, really struggling with the decision. And you may have heard this phrase before. I might have shared it with you, that there are missed opportunities, and there are opportunities you don't want to miss. For me, this could have been a missed opportunity. This could have been something that I passed on, and I would have missed the opportunity to spend time with those pastors. I'd have missed the opportunity to enjoy time with Craig. I'd have missed the opportunity to be used by God in a way that is very tangible for where our world is at right now. And I would have missed seeing the impact that previous conferences have had on these pastors. That would have been an opportunity that I could have missed, and I wouldn't have wanted to do that. Craig asked me, he's like, are you having a good trip? I said, dude, it would have been a shame if I had backed out of this trip. It would have been a shame. It would have been a tragedy. I think I used the word tragedy. But there are missed opportunities, and there are opportunities you don't want to miss. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, what motivates us? As a people in this country that has so much right now, excuse me, I know we're constantly looking at the news, we're constantly looking at all the negativity out there. There's a constant fear that we're going to lose everything that we have. There's a constant fear that things are going to go very bad in a very real sort of way. And all those things are beyond our control. All those things are things that when Jesus says, don't worry in Matthew 6, he says, who can add a single day to their life by worrying? Well, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is no one. In fact, there are studies that show that if you're a worrier, you could have a detrimental effect to your health. You can make yourself stress out to the point where you have things going wrong with you physically because you're carrying things that you cannot control and shouldn't be carrying. So we don't want to be a people that miss opportunities that God puts right in front of us. We want to look at the missed opportunities we maybe have had at different points in our life and say, those should be learning experiences. We don't want to miss new ones that are coming along. In fact, I just wanted to read three verses for us today. I know this is Holy Week. I know this is Palm Sunday. I know if you grew up in church, you might have seen the kids come up waving palms, talking about Jesus entering into Jerusalem, Jesus being that Passover lamb, you know, going from hearing, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord on Sunday, then hearing, crucify him on Friday. But in Matthew chapter, I believe it's 9, Jesus says some very powerful words in verses 35 through 38. It says in verse 35, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out more labor or send out laborers into his harvest. It's a very appropriate passage for us. We think about why do we do what we do? Why do we want to have a church in Kent? Well, because we look at Kent and we hopefully have the eyes of Jesus and we see that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. But there's three things I just want you to take away from this passage. The first one is Jesus was doing the work of the Father. What was he doing? Well, he was teaching. He was preaching in their synagogues. He was coming into the centers of life as they gathered there and lived out everyday life and was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We saw that he was healing people. And we saw that he was having an impact. We know from John 6:38, Jesus said this. He said, I've come to do the will of the Father. I don't do my own will. I do the will of the one who sent me. And we need to gut check ourselves and ask the question, are we doing the work of the Father each and every day? Are we doing the things we know that God wants us to do? Are we having an impact on the people around us? The second thing we see in verse 36, that Jesus had a heart of compassion. The question I've been wrestling with is, do Christians in our culture have a heart of compassion for the lost like Jesus did? Or do we have a heart of judgment? Do you have a heart of judgment that says, you know, you're not doing it right, and we want to change, the culture more than we want to change people's hearts? The word in Greek for compassion is this word splagnesomai. It sounds like a serious disease, but it's a word that refers to a longing that comes from the gut, an internal longing. One commentator said, splagna, the noun form of the verb behind felt compassion, literally refers to the intestines or the bowels. In scriptures, it's sometimes used literally, as when describing Judas's death. More often, it's used figuratively to represent the emotions, much in the way that we use the term heart today. See, Jesus had a deep-seated urge of compassion to minister to people because they were like lost sheep. They were sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd, they're vulnerable. And again, in the text, it says he saw the people as harassed and helpless. Do we see people in culture that way today? Or do we do a little bit more finger wagging when they're not living out the values that we have? Or they're not following the political line of thinking that we have? It's sometimes so easy to look at the world through eyes of judgment rather than eyes of compassion. And to be like Jesus is to see the world with eyes of compassion. And then point number three. Jesus placed the opportunity before us and his disciples. And the same opportunity is before us today. Think about what he said to the disciples. He's like, look, he uses the analogy of a harvest. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. So what did he say? He said, pray. He didn't say go out. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'd send more workers into his field. And you and I, if we realize that was 2,000 years ago, that there's this abundant harvest, the disciples were praying the Lord would raise up more workers, you and I, we're answers to the prayers of the disciples that are 2,000 years old. And sometimes we're waiting on other people to do ministry. Well, here's the deal. If you and I are part of that answered prayer, we need to be faithfully proclaiming the gospel. We keep this image in front of you of the light. When this light is on, someone shared their faith this week. I want you to know, since I've been back, two people have talked to me and said, the one said, I guess you could turn the light on, and then they shared their story. I'm like, no, we absolutely can turn the light on. That was a gospel opportunity. And then this morning, I got a text from, you know, a mom who loves her kids, who's sharing the gospel with her kids that don't know Jesus. And so this is a physical representation of the fact that we want to see this light on because it means that we are sharing our faith. We are being the light in the world. We are having an impact. We are thinking through what does eternity look like for these people. And again, the harvest is abundant or plentiful because lots of people need Jesus. And when we think about what is our vision, we know the mission is make disciples. The vision is we want to be a life-giving church. And I was thinking through this mindset of, you know, my attitude at the outset of this trip. It's like I'm missing the opportunity to go on a life-giving mission which completely fits the vision of who we're trying to be as a church. We have the opportunity almost every day to be people that give life or are a drain on life. We give life, as we said a couple weeks ago, when we share the gospel message. We give life when we're active in Christian community. If you're here today and you're not part of a life group or a women's study or a men's study or youth group or young adult, please get involved. Because those things are so important because you want to be with like-minded people when you go through life. You want people to see the world the same way as you. We want people to see the world that understand there's a God in heaven, a Jesus who came, and that's what Easter is all about. And we want to be around those people that are going to point us to the Savior each and every day. But also, you want to be with the people that are going to spur you on to share the gospel, to be in community, and to serve others. That's what life-giving people do. And again, when I think about what I've had the opportunity to do these past couple years, reaching the pastors is one step away from reaching the community because you're reaching the people that are trying to reach them in their context. And so by you supporting BMDMI, by you supporting Equip Ministries, by you praying for them, that's a way that we support them. By you praying for me, you're supporting pastors in other countries while I'm away. By praying for Craig, that's what Craig does. He's in 12 nations now. He travels 8 times a year. He's going back to Nicaragua in May. They asked me if I wanted to go. I said my wife and my church might kill me or disown me. So I'm going to pass and come next year, hopefully. But when you give to the general fund of Bridge Bible Church, out of the general fund, we give to BMDMI and we give to Equip Ministries International. Because we budget that ahead of time because we know that our missions giving doesn't cover all that we want to give to these ministries making a difference in other places. So you, by giving, by praying, you're connected to impact that we're having in other nations. So as your pastor, I want to say thank you. I'm very thankful to be a part of a church that says we want to be responsible for giving life in other places. Three things I want to remind you of. Harvest is abundant. Everywhere you go, there are people that need Jesus. Please be praying that God would give you opportunities to share your faith. There's a shortage of workers. We need more people to take to heart this idea that we are called to be a part of bringing in the harvest. And then lastly, always be praying for more laborers. I want to share with you something that Maranatha is doing that we're going to hopefully be a part of. They've created a track or a program to help identify people called to the mission field, you know, specifically young people. And they said, we want to be a part of helping all the church plants raise up future missionaries, raise up future church leaders. So one, we need to be praying that God would look at our young people at Bridge Bible Church and the other church plants, and say, you know, maybe it's one of our young guys, one of our young gals, hey, you are called to missions, and help them go through the process of identifying a call in their life and then getting there. And second, we want to just be active in praying that God would continue to make an impact through people like he has for the past 2,000 years. And the last thing I want you to consider is, what will your role be going forward in bringing in the harvest? One, as I said, praying, not just for young missionaries to be called, but you should also be praying for your own opportunities to share your faith. because prayer is the primary work of the people of God. We don't take that seriously enough. That our first response should always be praying. Second thing is, we should be wanting to share our faith as we have opportunities. And then lastly, if you're not already, we want to be giving to the mission. We want to be giving to the mission of making disciples so that we can see us have an impact in Kent and throughout throughout the world as God opens up doors. And you have had that opportunity already, and you have had that impact already. And as your pastor, I just want to say thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you first and foremost for the opportunities that you give our church. And thank you for the faithfulness that you have brought into this room. Lord, I also want to say thank you for bringing me back safely and giving me a great time of being with other pastors and having the opportunity to just teach them some of the practical things that I've had the pleasure of learning over the past couple years. We thank you for Craig and Equip Ministries. We thank you for Chris and Denise with BMDMI and just the work that they're doing in Guatemala, Honduras, and in the region. And Lord, we lift up all those pastors that we got to be with, the 150 from Honduras and the 30 or 50 men that were gathered as church leaders trying to grow in your truth and understanding on how to serve their people. Thank you for the ways that you have used ministries like Craig's, ministries like Chris's and Denise, to see the gospel advanced through men that love you and love your word. Lord, I pray that those men would not grow weary, but they'd have a love for their people that mirrors the compassion that Jesus had for the crowds. And Lord, for us back home, I pray that we not ignore our own backyard. I pray that we would have such a drive and compassion for those that are in our communities, that we would seek to love first. Lord, I pray that you take away a heart of judgment if it's found in any of us, that we would be people known for our love, our compassion, and pointing people to the truth. And Lord, for those in our ministry that are not connected to community, are not involved in what's happening here, I pray that you get a burden on our hearts, give us a burden to be connected in a way that is more meaningful than we are right now. Thank you for those that have been faithfully serving here and faithfully giving. And I pray, Lord, that the light of the gospel would continue to burn at Bridge Bible Church for the days ahead and generations to come. It's in your name we pray. Amen.